Every year, I watch as Christmas decorations go up earlier and earlier, and in that regard, this year has been no different. Even before Thanksgiving, my Facebook feed was filled with pictures of people's Christmas trees, their homes decked out in lights, their mantles overflowing with greenery and candles. My spouse and co-minister Christian jokingly calls this the war on Advent, but do you see what I have to put up with? But this year, instead of being annoyed, I have been glad that so many people have gotten into the holiday spirit so early. Over the last 2 weeks, as I've driven home from meetings here at church, it has gladdened my heart to see so many homes shining with bright, cheerful lights. And it's been a happy relief to see friends share how much joy decking their halls has given them, because I know how hard a year this has been for so many of us. Some of my friends are undocumented, or they have friends and family who are, and they've spent the last year living in fear that they or their loved ones will be the next to disappear into an ICE van. Most of my friends have been working hard this year, like all years, in schools and shelters, rec centers, and church basements to try and make their communities better. Others have spent energy and time calling their representatives almost every week to encourage them to think of the poor, the marginalized, the forgotten, when choosing how to vote on various pieces of legislation. Some went to Standing Rock with me last year and have organized all year to try and protect Mother Earth's waters and lands. And others have lives so full with diaper changing, PTA meetings, and meal making, and they worry that they haven't been able to do more in these unprecedented times. Each year, the holidays, the winter holidays, can be a welcome excuse to shift our focus to something else for a season. But I think it's especially needed this year. After a year of disappointment, rage, and growing feelings of powerlessness for so many people I know, it is a relief to finally feel like we're allowed to focus on something hopeful, focus on what could be possible. The holidays are a chance to retell and remember precious stories of hope not running out, of light casting away dangerous shadows, of a foretold time when goodness and justice and peace will finally reach a tipping point and one day take over our weary world. What a relief to be reminded that alongside of humanity's sorrowful history of greed and violence and oppression is a history of striving and yearning to break free into a world where love reigns, where the poor have good things to eat, where the last are first and the mighty have been cast down from their thrones. Can I get an amen? Thank you. I share this sense of relief that the holidays are coming, that in the midst of so much struggle, there is a stretch of time when we are supposed to just unplug for a while. While I miss taking my kids to the playground after dinner, I think the growing darkness is actually one of the biggest blessings this time of year. The darkness can be difficult, but it also beckons us to sleep a little bit more, to turn our gaze inward. We need this time, this period for inner reflection, because in the midst of a culture obsessed with the joy of the winter holidays, I know many people are feeling anything but joyful right now. This is an especially tough time of year for anyone who has lost a loved one, whether to death, divorce, or estrangement, For people suffering abuse at home or at work, the picture-perfect family gatherings on TV and holiday cards are grating. For young adults spending their first winter holiday season away from their childhood homes, especially those who don't feel like they'll ever be welcome back, it can be unbearable. And though it's tough in a different way, this can also be a hard time for any of us who carry great hope for our world. Humanity's yearning for the world we dream about is right on the surface of so many traditions this season. We yearn to hurry through our present-day reality to the peace and joy of a world renewed. But each year, we hurry, and then we are left to wait a year more. We wait with lamps trimmed and burning, awaiting the foretold reign of peace, only to watch yet another year of human struggle come and go. Hope so focused on the future, on that which has yet to happen, can leave us feeling profoundly unfulfilled if what we hope for seems an awful long way off. At some point, we can't keep our lamps burning any longer. Sometimes, especially in times such as these, I think we need a different kind of hope. In our first reading today, Thich Nhat Hanh encourages us to let go of hoping for so much in the future. Instead, he invites us to focus on the signs of hope that are right in front of us. He writes, "If you rechannel those energies into being aware of what is going on in the present moment, you will be able to make a breakthrough and discover joy and peace right in the present moment, inside of yourself and all around you." Rather than focus all of our energy on what we hope for tomorrow, what if we make a point to sink into the places here and now that give us reason for hope today? The great philosopher and theologian Paul Tillich wrote something similar about hope. He said, "There are many things and events in which we can see a reason for genuine hope, namely the seed-like presence of that which is hoped for. In the seed of a tree, stem and leaves are already present, and this gives us the right to sow the seed in the hope of fruit. We have no assurance that it will develop, but our hope is genuine. There is a presence, a beginning of what is hoped for, and so it is with the child and our hope for his maturing. We hope because maturing has already begun, but we don't know how far it will go. We hope for the fulfillment of our work, often against hope, because it is already in us as a vision and driving force. We hope for a lasting love because we feel the power of this love present." The seed-like presence here and now of the world we yearn for, the little pockets of renewal and justice we encounter all around us, the people and places and events that bring us face to face with joy and peace and goodness, what if we sank into those, not as a way to escape from reality, but as a healthier way to engage with reality? What if instead of scanning the newspaper or our Facebook feeds every morning, feeling more and more overwhelmed at the futility of it all, we started looking for stories of hope lasting when everyone thought it would run out? Evidence of people incarnating love into their small corners of the world. What if we chose to engage with the world through the places where what we hope for is already present, where it's already made a beginning? How might that impact the way we engage with life? I think this may be what Alicia Garza was getting at in our second reading today. because it takes stamina and what Garza calls a resilient heart to resist authoritarianism and evil and greed that is so pervasive in our world. It takes energy to be part of bringing our hopes to birth, even as the dehumanizing world is dismantled around us. I think we grow resilient hearts attuned to the seed-like presence of hope by rooting and nurturing our hearts in the fertile ground where what we hope for is already growing. And that fertile ground is all around us. It was here on Friday night when our youth enjoyed a holiday party and decorated our atrium. It's in the love and care that our pastoral associates here at church provide when we are sick, when we are grieving or recovering from surgery. It's in every single child and adult who work together in the Read Aloud program, in which so many of you have participated over the years. It's there every time one of our children or youth comes to claim this church, this congregation, this faith as their own, every time they take that flame of truth and love home with them. It's with us at every ceasefire walk, in every plate of food served at GRIP, at every social justice council meeting. It's in our hearts every time we give just a little bit more than we were planning to, because we believe in the work of the Good Neighbor organization our church is supporting this month. And it's here, in, with, and among us, sitting here today, nurturing our spirits so we can help keep healing our world the other 167 hours of the week. It's in every courtroom where lawyers fight for justice for the oppressed, every phone call made to advocate for the marginalized. This holiday season, may you find release from the burden of hurrying so that you can receive the rest and reflection that the growing darkness has to offer. May you attune your heart to the seed-like presence of what you hope for that exists all around us, though sometimes hidden. May you never let go of hoping for the world we dream about, yet may you find the places where it has already taken root, and where its joy, its relief, its balm is available in each and every moment, every heartbeat, every breath. And may you feed the flame of hope in the lampstand of your heart so that it will shine brightly forth from all that you say and do and never, ever be overcome. Amen.